Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's a blessing to be gathered together here and worship God here together this morning. I've been challenged as we in the service so far this morning. Turn with me for a message to John chapter 4. In the end of John chapter 4, verse 43, we have here a little story. Jesus meeting up with this nobleman and healing the nobleman's son. And for a title this morning, I like to think about the nobleman's faith and how that played out in his life. And there's a lot of things we can pull from this short portion of scripture here this morning and to look at. But let's read verses 43 to the end of the chapter. John 4, 43. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, saying, having seen all the things that he had did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they were also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he had heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the words that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now come down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Now just a little backdrop on this story here. Jesus was forced out of his hometown by the rulers there. He was not accepted. They rejected him. They were angry with him. And that's what brought him down into Galilee here to these people here. This was, if you go back, just move back in this same chapter, you have Jesus meeting the woman at the well on his way to Galilee. And finding her and also his relating to her there in verses 15 to 26 there. But there's a number of lessons we can learn through the miracles that Jesus did, or through the miracles of Jesus. And that is, through the miracles of Jesus, we learn what kind of Savior Jesus is. And we learn how Jesus deals with the souls of men for their own good, and also then the blessings he brings to those he prepares to receive. So those are the things we learn from Jesus' miracles. Backing up to 4, verses 1 to 3, we find him... Verse 1 says, And when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, and he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, they began to question. They were questioning Jesus. They were questioning. Just flip back with me to Matthew chapter 13 to give us a little bit of backdrop here. Matthew 13, verses 53 to 57. It says, "And when it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he spake a number of parables unto them," in the beginning of chapter 13 here, "and when he had finished that, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom, and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James, and Joseph, and Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save his own country and in his own house." So they were offended by Jesus' teaching. They were offended by his parables, by what he was trying to show them. And they were getting hung up on the you know, "Isn't this the man that we know? Like, how is this man connected to God? How is..." They couldn't get past what they could see, and so they were getting hung up on what they could, what they saw, rather than just believing. And we have this man, this nobleman, and it says, "And the nobleman believed." He believed Jesus' words. It said, you know, "Go home. Your son's well. Your son is healed. You can go home." John 1:11 says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." And this was, I believe, of great sorrow to him, that his own countrymen did not even want anything to do with him. Many of them rejected him. Many of them didn't want what he had to offer. This was his hometown. Judea should have been his place of support, his place of honor. But rather, it was his place of rejection. Now we find here the Galilean people, and as he came to Galilee, in verse 45, he says, "Then when he was coming to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went up unto the feast." And what they were referring to was the... In that verse was the feast where Jesus turned the water to wine and performed that miracle there in that wedding feast. And we know that story well. That's in John chapter 2. And they were there and they saw that. And it says they received him because of that. They received him because they saw these things. They saw the miracles. They saw the things that Jesus did, and they accepted him and they wanted him. And you know, the thought was brought out, and as I was studying, that it seemed like the farther that Jesus got away from his hometown, the warmer the reception, the warmer the acceptance, the want to, the desire for Jesus. The farther away he got from his own people. It shouldn't have been. He should have had the acceptance of his own people. So one of the things that kind of challenged me here in this verse was that the Galileans saw the same thing that his own people saw. And yet there was a difference in the acceptance. There was a difference in the relation. They saw it and they received him. The Galileans saw it and they're like, they were awed by God's by Jesus' power and by his miracles, rather than getting hung up on the nitty-gritty details and kind of holding God accountable, kind of holding Jesus accountable in their own minds. We look at verse. We have the nobleman coming to him in verse 47. And he says, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Now this nobleman had a ways to go. He had... There was like 15 or 20 miles there that the travel between from where this nobleman was to where he needed to find Jesus. And he made that trek, he made that trip of his own effort. And I believe it shows the intensity or the belief that this man had that there was an answer that he could find that was real. But Jesus' answer to him here in verse 48, it says, then said Jesus unto him, it says, except ye see the signs and wonders, ye will not believe. And I believe Jesus was trying to teach this nobleman something here in these verses. As we think about signs, signs are a deeper truth than what meet the eye. We have to look beyond, okay, if all we're going to go on is the miracle, if all this nobleman was going to go on was the miracles that he saw, the outward miraculous healings and so on, if that's all he was going to go on, it wasn't going to carry him through. It wasn't going to do him any good if that's all he was going to look at. Because as long as things were going good, then things are good, and when things are going bad, then things are bad, and that's not how life works. Signs and wonders, it needs to go deeper. The wonders, he says, if you don't accept, you see these things, but it needs to go deeper than just the seeing. We need to believe them. There was, I think, a bit of a lack of faith also in the Galilean people here. And he makes this statement not only to the nobleman, but he addresses the people here as a whole. He does not just address one person, but rather he says, except ye see the signs. And he addressed the crowd here and said to them these things about, except ye see the signs and wonders. Another thing we notice about this man is that had he not had the sickness of his son, what if he come to Jesus? What if he been so concerned about getting to Jesus, about following Jesus, had it not been for the sickness of his son? I believe it was the sickness of his son that gave him a desire to see Jesus, that gave him a desire to want to notice I believe he at least heard about the miracles before Jesus came to his town. And as he heard about Jesus coming to his town, he was, I believe, very happy because he saw a man who could bring answers to his troubles in his life. Sometimes God allows things into our life to get our focus, to refocus our focus. We get our focus on kind of life and the things around us, and God brings things into our life to refocus our focus in life and to get it on on him and to on his answers rather than our own. His son was near death. And we find him, we have the nobleman coming in verse 47. And he says to Jesus, he says, "My son's at the point of death. He's about to die." And we find Jesus' answer to him. And I think we sense a bit of frustration in the nobleman here. And he says, "Sir, you know, come down ere my child die. You know, didn't you hear me say that my son is at the point of death? But come down, my son is about to die." Almost a bit of maybe frustration or desperation, you could say, of I know you have an answer. You are the one that can heal. He is at the point of death. Like, didn't you hear what I said? And I believe Jesus wanted to make sure that he was not just maybe worshiping him because of the miracles that he did, but rather imploring him and wanting him because rather of who God is. If we base our faith on what God does for us, if we base our faith on good times, so I have faith as long as God is good and as long as things are going well for me, then when hard time comes and when things begin to turn on us, then we look at God and say, "Well, you're at fault for my problem. You are at fault for what I'm facing because I based my faith on what the good things God does for me." Another thing that this nobleman did not realize or recognize is that distance and time do not hold back God. Distance and time do not hold back God. And he was imploring Jesus. He said, "Please come heal my son. Please come and bring your presence. I know your presence brings healing. Bring your presence." And he was right. Jesus' presence does bring healing. But he was holding Jesus down to time and distance. And he said, "You know, come down and heal my son." And what he had to realize is that Jesus is not detained by time, but rather he has the power to defy time, to defy distance. And he says that here. He told the nobleman in verse 50, he says, "Go your way, that your son lives. He's alive. He is well. He is better." And we find this nobleman immediately turning around. He immediately realized that, believed in God, and my son is well. And he turned around and he headed for home. Do I believe there was maybe a question in the man's mind that, "Wow, wonder how he did that. Wonder if." I don't know. I don't know what the nobleman thought. This was a man that was of great importance. I'm not sure what he had in his mind as he headed for home that day. And it was the next day, still on the way home, that he met his servant coming to meet him and telling him, thy son lives. Someone suggested it was more than one day that since it was more like the second day since he had headed home. The nobleman believed in the presence of Jesus, but he also needed to believe in the words of Jesus. And the word that, you know, Jesus didn't need to go there to heal his son, but rather he could speak the words. A couple practical things for us as we think about this nobleman and his faith to do this is he did not let pride and position or effort deter him from finding God. He did not let the things of life, he did not let his pride deter him from going and finding Jesus and asking Jesus to come heal his son. He had a lot at his disposal, and he could have, maybe he went after all the doctors, I don't know. But he had a lot at his fingertips, a lot of answers that he could have tried, and maybe he tried all of them and came up empty-handed. And Jesus was the only man left. And I'm sure that probably was the case. But he could have still had pride and simply said, well, you know, I'm not really going to go call help of someone else. But he didn't let that happen. Someone suggested it was a 3,500-foot climb, like uphill to where Jesus was. And I didn't check that fact precisely. But if that was the case, it would have took a tremendous amount of effort to even get to Jesus. What about you and I? Do we have too much pride to call on God for help? Do we have too much? Does our position keep us from receiving help of other people? Does the effort look too hard to even start in my relationship with Jesus? Where are we at in our relationship with God? This nobleman stood the test of his faith. He could have turned around, and I'm not sure, as I read this story, as he pleaded with Jesus in verse 49, and he said in verse 50, and Jesus said in verse 50, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the words that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. He immediately believed and went his way. He stood to test whether this man would have went away unbelieving. Would have his son been healed? Would have there been a change? I don't know. But he believed. Jesus said it, and he walked away from there, I think, believing that whether there was questions in his mind or not, he went away believing that Jesus healed his son, that his son was healed. But I think we find the response later, and we'll look at that then, but in the chapter here of this nobleman, of the proof of his belief of in verse 50, because we find that he was a witness for the Lord. He was a witness to the power of God, to the power of Jesus healing his son. He was witness to that. You find him asking his servant, he said, well, when did this happen? When did my son begin to get better? And he said, you know, yesterday about this time, and it was the same hour that Jesus said, your son liveth. It was direct proof that Jesus' words had power aside from just his presence. We need to have faith, knowing that Jesus can provide for my need, for your need. I need to have faith that Jesus can provide for me. It doesn't matter the circumstance or the situation. It doesn't matter where I find myself in life. Jesus can provide for my needs and will. Jesus did not physically need to be there, but he only had to say the word. We find this man, this nobleman, going back in verse 53. It says, "So the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house." He believed in Jesus, and not only he himself, but his whole house believed in Jesus. And I believe that this man went back, and his faith was strengthened more than it had from the start. But beyond that, he believed in Jesus so much that it did not only affect himself, but it affected his whole house. And I believe it went far beyond his house. And that's how faith works this morning. When faith is a personal thing, very personal thing, but it's also, as the faith in my life grows and becomes stronger, it becomes contagious. And it becomes something that other people feel, other people see, other people notice, and other people want. And I believe that's what happened here in this nobleman's life. His whole house saw it, and it was something they wanted. They felt it, and they desired it, and they wanted it. And so this morning, let's have a faith like that, that one that is that others desire, that others see, rather than one that is dead and, you know, you really wonder if there's actually faith or strength, spiritual strength within that person. Let's kneel in prayer.